This is Infection, the H1Z1 podcast, recorded live on Tuesday, March 17th, 2015, Episode 9. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Infection. Infection is your source for the latest information on H1Z1. We bring you the latest news, changelogs, developments, strategies, and speculations each and every week right here live on the Infection Podcast. My name is Nick Craig. At Gamecast Live is my Twitter handle, and InfectionPodcast.com is the website. Joining me, as always, Brian Aldridge.
Hello, Nick.
Hello.
Welcome to week number 9.
Yes, week number 9 of the Infection Podcast.
Of course, if you want to find me, you can go to, first of all, biteoftech.com. That's B-I-T-E of tech.com. Or go to google.com. That's Brian Aldridge. And of course, that's Brian with an I as well. If you want to get either one of us, you can go to infectionpodcast.com, which has links to your email accounts. If you go to, contact@infectionpodcast.com, that'll go to both of us.
Correct.
And I think that's where the contact form on the website goes. The most important thing, I think, right now is if you go to our website and click on that Steam link, that'll let you join our Steam Infection Podcast Steam group, which is a great way to meet up with us in game or find other people that are playing. We've been doing some Battle Royale together and, of course, playing a lot together, which we'll talk about in the podcast here. But, yeah, check out infectionpodcast.com, click on our Steam group, and also join us on TeamSpeak.
Yeah, now you're lagging a little bit on Skype, so your audio's kind of going in and out. But there, you can find him at Boise Computer on Twitter, and we got a little bit of the stuff that you were talking about there with the email addresses. So you can definitely get a hold of us. That's one thing. We got a few emails this week. So let's, Brian, let's go first into it. What happened this week? What's going on? Our clan... It was an interesting week. Some interesting things happened.
We picked up a few new clan members. And so, you know, that's one thing. Each week we've been picking up more people, which is good. Mm-hmm. We're starting to roll into Pleasant Valley with sometimes up to 15 people about.
Yeah.
Which is pretty fun. You're almost guaranteed that when you start getting attacked, your stuff isn't lost. I mean, we've had it to where usually when we go in with 3 people, 4 people, 5 people, there's still a chance that we'll all get wiped. Mm-hmm. Especially people that are using aim bots, it's like they can come in and clear out a group of 4 like that. But when you've got 12 plus people, the aim bots will take out 3 or 4 of you, and then someone with a shotgun will take them out.
Yeah, and here's actually here's a picture from last night in front of the Pleasant Valley Police Station, and this was we had 8 or 9 guys rolling around with us at the police station last night.
Yeah,
and that was a pretty fun experience.
Yeah, we went in and took over the police station for a while. They actually did a couple runs to the police station, took it over, and you know, that was a lot of fun. Second, my pig is opening the door.
Whoa,
Brian, I closed the door on her.
Whoa, that was quick. Whoa.
Well, you'll hear tap dancing because we have a mini pig, and so the second she enters, it's like tap 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 tap. So I saved you. So we went into the police station a couple times, And it's amazing. Last night there was a ton of loot. I mean, as far as guns, ammo,
constantly respawning too. We were at the police station. Since we were moving in such a large group, it took us about half an hour to go from the police station to Romero's. And by the time we got to Romero's and came back, fresh loot. We're talking shotgun ammo, AR ammo, pistol ammo. It was all there. So definitely loot. I think the loot right now, pretty spot on. There's definitely enough loot. One of the guys that plays with us, Ferment, spent about half an hour, 45 minutes in Pleasant Valley and was able to gear up pretty easily, having a lot of ammo, which was nice. So that's something now that you can look forward to. There's still not a lot of ammo, but you can find ammo, especially 45 rounds, which is really common. Even the gas stations in almost every city. You find them in the houses, in the residential areas all the time. So there's the 45 is definitely very accessible. So you can see that.
Last night, it seems like there's always been a shortage of shotgun shells.
Yeah.
But for some reason last night, it just seems like there was tons of shotgun everywhere. We've been okay finding 308 and different ammo. It's been kind of picking up, but I don't know if they changed a setting for shotgun specifically, but that has been all over the place. Now, I don't know. We can go into what happened to our base. Let's go into what we did first this past week, because we made some really cool upgrades to the base.
Yeah, let's talk about those first.
So we went through and we made a garage onto the base.
Yeah.
And it was a totally enclosed garage that you could drive into. And, you know, so it had a roof on it, and it looked awesome. It was huge, and it was totally linked up with our base. So the platform from one base went to the edge of it. And so you could actually run over and jump up onto the top of that one. And we had two more rooms that were extended into there from the platform that you could walk right into. So it's the only one I've seen like that. Definitely a cool base. But the problem is with our hill, you could jump on top of the garage. And so we tried putting barrels around the edge, but if they stuck a barrel up there, they could still jump up on the garage. And so we put punji sticks. I mean, we covered the whole roof of the platform with punji sticks. And we found out very quickly, punji sticks do nothing. You can sit there and run over punji sticks all day and they do zero damage to you. And I don't know if that's a bug. There's something wrong with punji sticks. We tried everything to make it so that they couldn't get over there. We got raided. Was it two nights ago?
That was Monday. Monday we got raided.
Yesterday morning.
Yeah.
So we get on, and we had people kind of coming in and trying to grief a little
bit.
Well,
so before we go into that, the one nice thing that we have the advantage of is we've got people that play all over the world. We've got people. Brian's in a nice scenario where he works from home a lot of the time, so he can be on. We've got other guys that are on throughout the day. We've got people in other time zones. So for the most part, we've got people, not 24 hours a day, but you know, prime time peak hours, you've got people coming, logging in 7-8 o'clock Eastern time AM. And then you've got people playing, Brian, sometimes you literally played all through the night Saturday. You played for like 15 hours
exhausted.
Straight or something.
And I had my playoff hockey game that next night. And so it's like, I slept from 7 to 11 or noon. And then I went and played a playoff hockey
this is
game.
So I go to bed at like 1 a.m. Eastern. Brian, you're in Mountain Time or Central Time?
Mountain Time.
So you're 2 hours behind me. I wake up at 9 a.m. Eastern, and I got log into TeamSpeak, and there's like three guys still in there. And I'm like, you guys didn't sleep at all, did you? And they didn't. So it's nice.
So that was my cue. Is like, okay, I got to go to bed.
So it's nice that we've kind of got people going in and out, and but unfortunately, there wasn't people in there to stop the base raid. Now, the reason for the garage is because every single time we'd get a car, within like an hour and a half, it was gone. Like, you get a car, the hackers on the server find the car, they put stuff in it, they drive it away. Without a doubt. Yep. The cars were useless. We spent more time, man hours, weapons, anything, trying to get these cars to have them for like 15 minutes, and then they were just gone. So we built the garage. People were able to get onto our base. The punji sticks are useless. And we logged into total mayhem.
So we had the night before to where there were just explosions happening, and we're inside the base. So this was like the day before. This wasn't this one. But we had these guys just – so I come out of the base. I'm coming out from one of our loot rooms. And there's this guy up above me and just shoots me. And so I yell in TeamSpeak, okay, a loot room is open. People are in our base. Everyone get here now.
So the problem with this is there's a bug where when you shoot, everybody crashes. So there's guys in our bases. There's guys in our base. Three people crash out. Ferment flips our truck and it blows up. Everybody's logged out of the game. There's people scavenging through our loot, and it's just a total disaster.
It's these Asian guys. So people get there, and I'm just like, close the door on the loot room. Close the door on the loot room. So people go and close the door on the loot room, and we lock two of these Asians in the room. And so we're like, nobody opened the loot room. I went and changed the code to the door so that no one could go in there and accidentally let them out. But they're stuck in there. I mean, that's the beauty of it, is it's like a prison. Of course, they're in with a big portion of our loot. And so they start taking it and like putting it on the floor to try to despawn it. And so we clear out all the rest of the guys. There was probably like 5-6 plus guys that had come and attacked us.
I believe it was like Jello that literally took out like all 4 or 5 of them. So it was nice because we had people in Pleasant Valley, which isn't far from our base, that were able to run back. So now we've got these two guys locked in this room, and like, I want to say like an hour goes by. And these guys are smart now. This is another clan on our server. I believe they're called TGX or TGS, something like that.
Something like that. Yeah.
These guys are smart, and they're a large group similar to what we have. So they have sent like 3 of their guys out on the hill and lure 3 or 4 guys out of our base.
To go and to shoot at them.
Exactly. So we've got guys from our base going out to kill these other guys by our base, and then these guys in the loot room log back in. Because we're now scattered and we're now distracted. They kill you.
They kill me and one other guy that were coming to the door.
They killed me too.
It was you and I.
Yes.
So they killed both of us. And so we're like, everybody get back.
It was weird. I had this like 1 second thing. Like everybody's leaving and they're like, oh, it's the TGS guys. And I'm in the base and I'm like.
Yeah, TGX.
I'm like, oh, are they going to log back in? And I run in. I don't say that. And I run into the, I'm like, hey, Brian, I'm coming in. I open up the room and those two guys are logged back in now killing Brian. So it was a very strategic play on their part.
So they come in and then they shoot you. And I say to people, just close the door. And so they close the door. They're back in there, but we know they're in there and we're worried about them logging back out. And so we get a whole bunch of guys around the door because these guys, I don't know if they're using aim bots, but like instant shotgun kills. Like if you're in their sight, bam. The second you open a door, bam, you're dead. It's like you can be sitting there ready to click when you see them, but you're already dead. And so they open up the door and we get 3 guys, 4 guys that go into the room. And I mean, there's just tons of gunshots. You and I are sitting there dead. So yeah. I can't see what's happening in the room. But there's tons of gunshots go off. And finally, they're both down. So we got them. Pick up the things that they tried to despawn, looted their bags. And then the next day, so that's the initial one that we dealt with. And so then we put all the punji sticks and everything on the roof and just try to figure out a way to secure the roof. The next day we log in the morning and all except for maybe 2 doors were blown off inside of the whole base. They had blown off almost every single door and taken
literally
everything except a box of spark plugs and a whole chest full of spark plugs and a whole chest full of branches. Everything else was gone. Because other than, you know, we just figure it was, they just were wanting to just mess with us. What would be the point in taking all of that? Because there was just stuff that it was, why would you take 500 and something cloth?
Well, what I don't understand here is how they... This is now why I think that these guys have some type of hacks. We probably had close to 75 guns. I mean, we had entire chests full of ARs and 308, an entire chest full of ARs, an entire chest full of 308s, and an entire chest full of shotguns. Straight up. I mean, some of them were damaged or whatever else. Everything was gone. So somehow each person has 3 weapon slots. How did they get all of those guns out of our base? It doesn't make any sense.
Well, that's the thing is they blew up all of the furnaces in the process. So they didn't melt them down. They didn't use the furnace because there were no furnaces.
Yeah.
So we know that wasn't it. And the amount of resources they used to create that many IEDs, we looked at it and they had to have done about between scrap metal and sheet metal, 900 pieces.
Yeah, of scrap metal to make the amount of
scrap metal and sheet metal. I mean, a mixture between the two because it takes a certain amount per. That's a lot of resources to blow off all of those doors. Plus, they used to get the furnaces that were out on the ledge to keep people from jumping up and to clear out. They cleared out a whole path of punji sticks.
Yeah, exactly.
And Landgun's asking about the melting them down in the furnace. The thing is when they were blowing up our base, they blew up the furnace too. Like every furnace was gone. There were no furnaces left at that point.
So, and that's where my question here is the how. And this is, of course, I don't want to accuse these people of hacking if they're not.
Yeah.
But even when you kill somebody, you don't even have, you leave their guns because you don't have enough weapon slots to do this. So like, yeah. It literally seems like these guys just ran in fresh spawns and were able to just pick up everything. We had a room. How many chests are in that room, Brian?
The main loot room. Probably about 15.
There's 15 and they were all full to the max where we were putting stuff in other rooms because you couldn't even drag items into these chests. So how did they take everything? It doesn't make any sense to me.
And we had 10 doors inside that they blew open. And it takes, what, 14 IEDs per door from what I remember?
And their doors aren't – I mean, these are doors on the first level, on the second level. They
out
weren't,
in the garage.
And they weren't dropped on the floor because people logged in while the raid was happening. So these items didn't despawn.
There was one room that had loot in it that they hadn't quite blown the door off of, and I don't know if it's because we interrupted them or if because they ran out of IEDs.
Yeah. So it's not crime. They didn't raid us in the middle of the night, like 2 or 3 a.m., and then we found out at like 11 or 12. Somebody logged in. It was around 11 a.m. Eastern. They logged in, and they saw the base getting destroyed. And then at that point, other people jumped right in. So it was, we had a pretty good response to it. So that's why my only logical explanation here is they were doing some type of glitch where they could either they were just despawning our guns or they were speed hacking back to their base and dropping.
Because that would have taken so much time or so many people to bring that many guns back. I mean, it would be a ridiculous amount of trips.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't want to accuse them of being the cheaters or hackers, but. The numbers don't add up. I mean, everything was... The chests were literally empty. There was nothing left in any of them, except for sparks plugs, branches, and, like, jeans. That's it.
Well, and I guess this whole thing, in my mind, was not a totally bad thing. So what we ended up doing was destroying the garage because it wasn't worth what we were dealing with. I mean, the garage was really cool. We should have made a video and we should have shown it off a little bit before we destroyed it. But I just pretty much came up with the mindset of, I don't want to deal with this anymore. Let's just destroy the garage. And when the wipe happens, we rebuild it. Because they did fix the placement system. And I'm sure we'll talk about that a little bit. But the placement system is a lot better to where you know where it can be placed. Before, you were just clicking everywhere, trying to place an object, and where it took. Now they actually have a thing that shows you a green surrounding around the object, so you know where that you can place it there. We were very limited on where we could place this building, and so when we redo everything, we'll move it out closer to the edge a little bit more and make it so that the actual garage is farther away to where you can't get on the edge. Who knows? I mean, personally, I like the location. It is somewhat difficult to get up to, which is positive and negative. It's difficult for other people to get up to, but
it's difficult for us to get up to.
It's I mean, we know it as well as you can know how to get up that ledge, but it still is a pain to get up there.
So
decide later to move it. If you know, it'd be perfect to scout the locations now.
Yeah,
find where a good location for a base is, and then as soon as wipe happens, go get that location.
Because what we currently do is we kind of like glitch up the hill a little bit. We just keep running and jumping, and eventually
sideways, exactly, and left and right.
And eventually you get up there. The problem is if you're being chased by somebody, you're going to be dead because it's not like a simple run up the hill. I mean, it sometimes takes you a minute, two, maybe even 3 minutes to get up that hill. Sitting there, you run out of stamina. People are jumping on you. It's not a quick entrance. But then again, neither are the gates. I mean, if you're somebody's chasing you into your base, you're not even going to be able to close the door quick enough to stop them. So there's definitely probably better spots on Humperdinck's Gorge that we could probably.
But the location itself, like the time it takes you to get to Pleasant Valley, is awesome.
I mean, we're 2 minutes from the church, literally 2 minutes. I mean, you just hop out of the base, run through the water, and you're at the church. It's a very easy run. Any word? So we've got a question chat. Lan Gun is asking,
Lanigan.
Is any word on the next wipe? No, we have no clue. I'm expecting it within the week, at least an announcement within the week, if not within the week. It's been about 3 weeks since the last wipe, I think.
Yeah, 2-5. Well, 2-5 was when they did one. And then they did one on 225.
Yeah, so it's been
so that was 20 days apart, and we are
almost
we're right about there.
Yeah, so I'm expecting we're sitting in Tuesday right now. So I'm by the end of the week, I expect at least an announcement if it's not already happened. Because last time they were just like, "Hey, the wipe's coming tomorrow, sayonara, yeah. Everything is gone."
Well, and they have been talking about a big patch coming.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and Smedley was saying there's going to be a big patch coming, and I'm assuming if there's enough in there that means that there will be a wipe.
Yeah,
because usually they want to clear out some of the old things. If they fix something major, they want to clear out the old ones to make it so that's not a recurring problem.
Yeah. Now, I at this point, I think I'm okay with a wipe. We've done our, and I was saying this last night or the night before. I just feel like the game, like now that we've got all of our stuff built, it's like, what do? Like, you just run to the church in Pleasant Valley, you get some food, you kill a fresh spawn, you run back. Like at this point,
I think once they deal with the hacker situation, because it's been up and down. I mean, I think because we're big enough, they've been avoiding us lately when we have a big enough group that comes out. And those are the most fun times because you go in there and you actually deal with real people that are fighting you legitimately. And you can go on and battle back and forth with people. It's when you're having to deal with a hacker that comes and clears 5, 6, 7 people out, you know, in seconds, that's when it gets frustrating. And you're like, what's the point of this? But when you go out and you're just searching for encounters, for me, that's been fun. You're kind of running to the police station to see who's going to try to come in and take the basement. You run up to the apartments to kind of check out, you know, who's up there trying to get the loot around. What's the name of that restaurant or the grocery store?
Romero's.
Romero's, yeah. So, you know, you go up to the Romero's area and you just kind of, and that's the thing about Pleasant Valley is it is a high traffic area. So you go in there and you can find those encounters, but the night gets just cut off early when all of a sudden the hacker comes in and just ruins the whole mood. So I think if they get it to where that doesn't happen on a regular basis, which, as I said, once we've had bigger groups, that hasn't been happening. But if you ever go out with 3-4 people, you're almost guaranteed at some point that you're all going to get wiped out by a guy who's one-shotting everybody in the head from farther distance than you can shoot. Yeah. Or, you know, some guy just teleports behind you and instantly kills your whole group.
Which is that's been our big problem is the teleporting stuff has been a big problem for us because you'll be we've got a guy that's Ferment that's really good at scoping people out from a distance, and he'll be like, and they're gone. And then the next thing you know, they're behind the entire group. So that's been our biggest problem is the teleporting people. That's a huge thing for us. Now, one thing, Brian, we could talk about this possibly. Now might be a good time for this. Talking about possible wipe, this means it gives you a chance to recreate your player and get a new name. And at this point, there's no clan system in the game. What we're going to do, and we'd like input from our viewers and from people that are in our clan currently, we set up a straw poll, and here's the straw poll right here. And we're trying to figure out what is a better name for our in-game name. Should we do Infection and then your name, or Infected and then your name? So for our example on the straw poll is Infection Fragment or Infected Fragment. So straw poll is now in the chat. You have a chance to vote on what you think is the best name for our, you know, clan tags at this point. If they don't already have clan, I mean, I imagine those clan tag systems will probably be out pretty soon. That's not a hard thing to do, especially with now that the squads are working better and better. I imagine those will be out pretty soon as well.
And like right now, I can't rename my character because all of the doors will then be unlockable.
Yeah.
So that's a thing that is an issue right now of if we delete our character just to create it with a new name, all those things that we created, first of all, can't be destroyed. So we can't undo things in the base and we can't change the passcodes on the doors. So that's one reason why we're waiting for a wipe before we all create this character is to make it so that it doesn't break all of our base at the moment. But yeah, we want you to vote in on this and make your your opinion known so that, hey, infection, infected, which one do you prefer? Because we want to go in with everybody that is a part of our clan, create your character without the beginning of the name so that everyone else knows that you're a part of our group. But also when we run across each other, it may be a new person or a person that you haven't played with very much before. That way you guys know that you're in the same group as well.
Yeah. And now Langdon's making a good point, Chad. He says, but when you tag, you become a target.
I mean, I think we're already a target.
We've got a base on Humperdinck's Gorge in Pleasant Valley, and we roll
that
around.
Stands out.
We've got rolling around in groups of 10 to 15. We're already a target, which is actually kind of cool. I like being like, this is my first time having an experience in a game where I've got such a strong community behind me. Like, this is stuff you don't normally experience as the average player. At least in my case, this is something I've never experienced before. Having such a large group of people that are with you, right? Yeah. It's something that it's new, and it's actually really cool because you can get stuff done. Like, we go when we get stuff done. We take over Pleasant Valley when we run into the city.
Yeah, and Kramit made a comment that we could destroy the doors before, but my concern is not necessarily just the doors, like the garage. If I would have created a new character while the garage was still there, we'd still have the garage. There would be no opportunity to tear those walls down and destroy the structures when I could go through with this new destruction hammer that they put out last week and destroy each of those buildings. So I'm just doing it to maintain the possibility of what if a wipe isn't till 2 months from now. We don't want to be stuck with something that could create a big problem.
Well, and plus at this point, then you got to relearn all your crafting recipes. And at this point, and it's like, without a fresh wipe, it's like, God, you have to relearn all those recipes just for a wipe to happen soon. And it's really hard to do, especially at least in Brian's case, he does all the crafting for us. So for him to create a new character and have to relearn every single recipe for everything, probably wouldn't be the most pleasant thing to do.
But my opinion is a week, max 2 weeks, we're going to have a wipe. And that'll be a good opportunity. And this will give some people some time to vote. We have a lot of people that listen on download after the fact, maybe even a week later. This gives them an opportunity to go check out the straw poll here in a week or two. When the wipe actually happens, we can look at the results of the poll and say, all right, here's what we're going to do. Ferment, he's already changed it to infection ferment. For him, he's all in on that. Of course, when the wipe happens, he'll have the opportunity to change it if everybody decides not to.
And
now, your opinion, which one do you prefer? Not to sway the vote.
I don't know. I just think infected is cool. Like, hey, we're playing the game infected. Infected Nick, infected Brian. Like, I just think that kind of flows a little bit better. And if you are watching after the fact, the URL is strawpoll.me/3889605. And that will also be in the show notes or on infectionpodcast.com. So that's over there. And that vote will be open until the next wipe. And then at that point, we'll put on our website what our official name is going to be. And if you want to join us, you'll be able to simply change your clan tag or simply create your character with that name. And
on that, my opinion is the opposite. So we're 50-50 on this. Oh, okay. So there's not really I personally like infection.
Brian, can't hear you. Oh, no. What happened? I can't hear you, Brian. What's going on here? you prefer infection.
Yeah, I prefer infection just because I think because there are people that infected is the, like, hey, I'm infected with the virus. Infection totally associates you with our clan. I would assume, hey, we got H1Z1 in the chat, so I don't know if that is the official, looks like the official H1Z1 stream, so welcome. Thank you for tuning in live.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think that. I don't know. I guess we'll have to see. But
I don't know who else would put infected, like infected Nick. Someone could say my character's infected. That could be a part of the name.
Possibly. But I don't think we're going to have that many infected Nicks running around on Walker Empire. I plan. Now, the other thing we're going to have to watch out for, though, is are people going to be changing that name and joining, like, we're going to have, like, the TGX guys, like, being like, hey, what's up with these infection guys? And creating their names and trying to squad up with us. Now, the other thing we can get into quick before we get into some more news, let's talk about how great the squad system is now. The colors are so much better. We're not accidentally killing our own. We're coming close, but we're not actually pulling the trigger on our own teammates anymore. The squad leader is now a yellow color, and everybody else in the squad is a green color. And normally what we do is if we're in a police station, we say, if you see a blue name, kill them.
Yeah.
And if you see the blue name, you're dead. That's how that works.
And the distance is 10 times better. I mean, we were running into the problem before where you would have someone in your squad, but you couldn't quite tell if they were, until they get too close, whether or not they were in your squad. Now, if you're in a squad together, you have a little bit more distance apart. You have that little extra range where you say, okay, if they cross this magical line and they have their name hasn't shown up, I'm shooting them. I think that they really need to create a GUI for the clan invite system, or not the clan invite system, but for the squad invite system. And I think that would make a huge difference.
Even if they didn't do the GUI now, even if it was just a message in the chat that said, Boise Computer invited you to join a squad, type /squad invite. We do this a lot of the time. We're just like, Brian normally invites everybody, and he'll just say, all right, everybody do squad accept, because there's no notification.
Yeah.
Which, at least at this point, the notification would be nice. The GUI would be a lot nicer.
Now, if you type /squad, it does give you a bunch of commands that I think are left over from Planet Side.
They are, yeah.
And so they don't actually work. But that's a good indication of what is going to happen. They talk about having a clan tag in there so that it's not part of our official name. It's not the name itself, but having a separate clan tag. And of course, that means clans, where you can invite people into the clan that the second they log in, there's something associating you with them other than that name. Maybe some sort of a chat. I don't know. That'll be interesting to see.
Yeah.
But I am looking forward to the official clan, an official clan system, because we've been really building up to where, let's say there's 15 people on, 20 people on in our group. We just have the rule of you need to be in TeamSpeak, because if you're not in TeamSpeak, there's a good chance when you're running up to the base, you're going to be shot.
Yeah, no, totally. This is how we do it. If you want to play with us, if you're watching the show live right now, if you're listening to the show after the fact, we are open to playing with anybody. If you've got the game and you've got TeamSpeak, you can play with us, but you need to be talking with us. It is impossible for you to just follow our group and try to figure out where you where you're supposed to go and everything else. So the voice chat is definitely huge. And it's nice that we've got our TeamSpeak server available, which if you want to join us on TeamSpeak, the URL is just, or the server IP is just infectionpodcast.com. Just type in a username. There's no password. There's no port. And
there's a link right on the website. So if you click that link and you already have TeamSpeak installed, it will take you right into our TeamSpeak chat. Another thing that I was working on today is I created a clan photo gallery on our website.
I'll go to that right
now.
So
if you go to the website now, there is a... So if you go into our chat right now, there is a code, and I'm not going to go enter it in, but if you use that code in-game, it will be some sort of a prize in H1Z1. So if you're watching live, and that's an encouragement to watch live, H1Z1 has just posted a code, which will get you something in-game that
this,
you can use.
This actually looks like a key for the game. This doesn't even look like
This is internally you can, and so because remember that after that last live thing they did with the awards, these ones I don't think are copies of the game. I think these are, you can redeem a code inside in the store inside of H1Z1 that has a code that looks very similar to this.
Well, you can try
Steam and you can try this.
Let us know in chat what happens. Let us know what you get.
So whoever gets it, make sure you say something in chat and let us know what you've gotten out of this.
Yes. So we're going through some photos here. We have a lot of fun.
I'm not right. So this must be a game code. H1Z1 is telling me that I am wrong.
All right. So there it is. Game code in chat as we speak. That's why you got to watch it live. We're live Tuesday nights, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, infectionpodcast.com. Throw it in your Steam client. There you go. Product.
It says product already owned. So this is for someone who's listening to this, because we actually have quite a few people that are interested in the game.
Yeah.
But haven't bought it yet, because we get people saying, hey, I listen to your podcast. I'm really interested in getting the game, but I haven't gotten it yet. Should I get it? And we've had a number of people that we've gone through and said, hey, this game is awesome. You need to play it. And they've come into our clan and they're a part of it now because they've listened to the podcast just in anticipation of getting the game or wanting to know, hey, is this a game worth buying? I'm going to listen to this podcast and see if it's something good.
Yeah. So we want to thank H1Z1 and Chat for posting that. There you go. Reasons to watch live. And also we've got that Clamp photo gallery up, which is nice. That's the one thing. We have a lot of fun, which I like. We're semi-serious.
If you're out and you want to take a picture, just you can send it to me on email, share it with me on Steam. However, I pulled some of these off of like, Kane is his name outside of game, but, what's his name in game? Who is Heisenberg? Heisenberg and Ferment have sent me a bunch of these pictures. So those are the ones you see up there, but you're more than welcome to turn in your pictures and we'll put them up on the website. Also, I created a page for Join Us. And in there, I'm going to be putting how to name your character once we've decided, how to get onto our team speak, just all the different things you'll need to know to become a part of the clan and to find us in game and start playing with everyone else.
Yeah, so there we go. That basically sums up our week with H1Z1. Let's get into more of what else happened, not just directly linked to us this week. And let's go into some... You want to go to some patch notes first, Brian?
Yeah, so I'm going to go through, because we have these patch notes that PhaseFire put together that is actually a really nice compilation of all of the patch notes up from, I think it's the beginning of the year, which is the beginning of the game. Mm-hmm. So from January 16th on, he has the patch notes. A lot of them we covered last week with the, and because during the show, we had the patch notes actually come out.
Yeah, or it was like 20 minutes. It was like 20 minutes into the show. I was like, hey, breaking news, patch notes.
Yeah, we had what the expected patch notes were. And I looked through all those patch notes and it looked like there were only a minor amount of things that were different. Nothing that really, I think, made too much of a difference to really go over, because we did go over that last week. But this week, I want to find... So we covered last week the March 10th, right?
Covered the March 10th. Yeah. And we also covered the March 11th as well, which is what basically happened during the show. But it was just unofficial at the time.
Okay, so this today, the patch notes are free look should be working properly now.
Now, I noticed this.
Did you notice this?
I didn't notice it personally, but somebody was saying, I think it was Kane. I was running with him to get something, and he goes, you know, my camera's only going, he was pressing, oh, and he goes, my camera's only turning like 45 degrees, so we couldn't see behind him. So the free look wasn't necessarily running as well as it should be. That was a very isolated problem. He was the only one in our group of 10 to 15
people. So it must have been a minor bug. Now, Kane's game crashes, or Heisenberg, as he's in game now, he changed his name, but his game seems to crash more than anyone else's. So he's probably more likely to notice these things.
Yeah, now
than anyone else.
I don't know what it is, his computer. I don't know what his problem is, but he crashes out constantly. I mean, he's the one we go to when we say, you know, how many times have you crashed in the last hour? And he'll go, you know, crashed 5 times in the last hour, crashed 3 times in the last hour.
Well, we know someone dies when Heisenberg crashes out, because he's the one. Not everybody crashes when that bug hits.
Yeah, when somebody
shoots. When Heisenberg goes, we know someone died or something happened.
Yeah.
And so that now one thing that they're doing in this today's patch notes is says crashes should be substantially reduced. And so that'll be really interesting. As we said, Heisenberg will be our guinea pig to test this. If he notices a major difference, because I've been pretty good lately, there's been a few gunfights where I crash out and I'm like, okay, who died? You know, and it's kind of random. It doesn't happen every time, but I know if I crash out that it's because someone died, most likely because of that ragdoll bug.
Yeah. Now, according to a post that I saw today from one of the developers, I don't remember who I saw it from, they said that the crashing should now be reduced like tenfold. Like the crashes are going to be extremely minimal now, which I hope is that gunshot issue, because that was the downfall of our clan, was people just getting just running into our base and shooting and like DCing our entire clan and then raiding our stuff. Because like the doors were left open and everybody just kind of crashed out. So hopefully that's supposedly fixed now. And that'll hopefully help with a lot of the improvement stuff.
Yeah, so the queuing for the server, that's one thing with the weekend of Battle Royale. We noticed a big difference with we'd all queue up, and initially the numbers were jumping everywhere, right? We were trying to all queue in at the same time, and it would be like, okay, I'm 300, you're 200, you know, there's a couple of people. And then all of a sudden, some people would jump down to 20. I would jump up to 500, you know, it would go all over the place. By the end of the weekend, it seemed like they fixed that though.
It was working great.
It was much more consistent.
It was working great Sunday. And yeah. even yesterday, what we would do, we sit in the lobby and we'll say, you know, 3, 2, 1, click. And then you get to the character selection screen, 3, 2, 1, click. And now you go straight into the game. There's no, you know, you're 552 in the queue. You're straight into a Battle Royale game. I have yet to wait in a BR queue since they fixed the queuing thing, which is great. Because now you're actually getting in games with your friends, which was a huge problem. We weren't getting in games with anybody. We had Ferment sitting in the queue for like 45 minutes at a time.
Just now he's in Europe and we weren't sure he doesn't play on the EU servers. Mm-hmm. But we weren't sure if that was actually playing a role because he would be in a queue twice as long as we would.
Yeah. And then now he's getting straight in, which is nice.
Yeah. So it'll be a lot of fun. We've been playing in game. It seems like, you know, for a while there, we were playing a lot of Battle Royale. Lately, we've been doing, because of the size of our clan and just there's always somebody on, there's always something to go do. We log into the base and it's like, hey, who wants to go make a run for sheet metal, scrap metal? Who wants to go get some ammo? Whatever we're doing, there's always someone on. So we log in and bam, you go. Yeah. It's not like there's the downtime of, oh, there's nobody in the base right now. I'm going to go play some Battle Royale. When we're going to do Battle Royale, we're usually doing it as a group as well. So it's more of a plan. Hey, let's go do some Battle Royale for a while, and then we'll come back into the regular game.
Exactly. That was the March 17th patch was a client-side patch. So if that's today. So if you open up your game, it'll download an update. It wasn't a server-side patch. So there was just a few of those things with the client. The queuing is good, and now...
You don't have to delete your character. Now, I didn't have to do this.
Yeah,
you had to delete your character, get into BR, and you're not generally losing too much doing that because
not at all. Actually,
how many people know very many recipes on their BR character?
I don't. Well, I mean, you can't get any recipes. You can't. There's not like, I mean, unless you're chopping down a tree, which I don't know why you would. But this was the deleting your BR character was a problem when the queue was out of control, because what happened is you would sit in the queue at like 400 the entire time, and you would just have to delete your character, create it, and then you'd get straight in. So I don't think that's a problem anymore. Hopefully that Battle Royale queue fixed that.
Now, one thing, they did drop another code into chat. So of course, if you're not listening live, I'm sorry.
Watching live,
but there is a code and this is not a Steam code. So, I'm sure someone has already claimed that. Now, people are ready. I think people are now in game and then also watching.
Yeah. Now, why are you QQ is saying in chat? I just want to play with one name, and it's a nice start now that now you don't have to create a name on every single Battle Royale server, because when these server wipes happened, you would have to go through and get your name on every single Battle Royale server, and it would take you a good 45 minutes to get your name on every server, and now you don't have to do that, which is really good. It's just one centralized name. You select your name, Nick or Brian, and now you're in every Battle Royale server and not having to create a name, which makes that queuing up process a whole lot easier.
Now, I don't necessarily want the whole regular world to be a one name. Battle Royale, I think, is great having one name. That's your character you play under. I kind of like the idea of having separate characters per server so that you can have separate identities. It's because if you do it to where it's all one unique, you're going to be that on every server. And what if you don't want to be that character on every server? Let's say there's a role-playing server.
Well, no, you look at us as a clan, right? If the name sunk across all the servers, if you created the name Infected Brian, you're not going
to
want
to
go on...
I would
have
to be there everywhere.
Exactly. You don't want to go on another... Maybe on another server, you just want to be Brian. There's no Infected clan on an EU server that you play on, so the name is kind of useless. So I'm perfectly fine, like Brian said, with your name per server. That's fine. It's just the Battle Royale was where the huge pain was. But that's perfectly fixed now. So we're good. We're good with that. Now,
so
go ahead. I'm sorry.
There were the post-patch notes that came out. And this was kind of a hint towards the last ones we did, but we'll be putting all this on our website in the show notes. So if you want links to find these things, one thing that we're going through, and as I said, PhaseFire released this thing that has the list of all the patch notes. We'll put a link to that. You have to have an SOE issue tracker account on there. But once you create that account, you can go in and look at the website's really awesome. It lets you go through and see the current issues that people have reported, which ones that the Daybreak team has acknowledged as being a bug and have on their list to be fixed, which ones they've already fixed, or which ones are duplicates. There's a lot of things you can go and find in that issue tracker. So jump on to SOEissuetracker.com, right?
Yeah, and that's all of the issue trackers across all the games. That's not just that's the Planetside issue tracker. It's just their general repository for all the issues. Now, this post I saw on Reddit today, mm-hmm. and this is something that's interesting. There's been stuff on the Reddit about how people getting keys in the elite bags, and I, like everybody else, thought this was just total BS, and they weren't actually getting keys in the elite bags. There's a video today, I'm going to play that now really quick, showing a guy in opening up an elite bag and getting a crate key. So he got the crate key, and his post on Reddit was something like, "I'm not a liar. Like, here's proof that I haven't been lying. I'm not trolling you guys." So you can now actually get a crate key. Or I guess you could have the whole time. It was just nobody had video proof. So everybody's like, "Oh, no, you're so full of it. You can't actually get those."
They're just very rare then.
They are extreme. The elite bags are as rare as they are. You know, it's what, top five for an elite bag?
I thought it was top three.
You're right. It is top three because I came in fourth place twice and didn't get one. So you've got to get top three to even get an elite bag. And then once you get that elite bag, you have a very slim chance of getting a key as well. So
there is a chance. Not. And that's the thing. We've got some guys in our clan that have, like Ferment, he has this skin helmet, the skin motorcycle helmet, which is really nice. So we can go through
he
and
bought
put
that. He specifically bought keys, hoping to get a good skin.
Keys. Yeah. Yes, and he got the skin luckily that he wanted the first time. I think he got two skins that he wanted right away. So there is a chance though with these keys you're going to get the same things. Mm-hmm. So if you win these keys, there's a chance you'll get that motorcycle skin, you know, whatever special hat skins and things they're going to be releasing in the future.
Exactly. Now the one thing that I think needs to be fixed in Battle Royale is, or at least the perks, when you open up the bags, why does it give you the skin again? It should just say like, "Oops, already have this product" or something. Like, do I really need, like, the whole number system doesn't make any sense because it sticks to your account. It's not like every time you use the skin, your number decreases. Like, do you need 19 red trucker hat skins?
I think it's more for the fact that you're like, "Hey, I have gotten this," because what if they say, "All right, you got this hat, you already have it." It's kind of like not winning anything at all.
Okay.
Your number goes up a little bit and you're like, okay,
it's like positive reinforcement.
I've got 19 trucker hats. How many trucker hats do you have, Nick? You've got like 5 trucker hats. So obviously I've gotten a lot more of 5th to 10th place.
So now we can compare event tickets, Brian. You've got like what, like 75 event tickets or something, and I'm sitting here at like 18 or like some.
Yeah, I've got a lot. I've got a lot of event tickets. So when Battle Royale is not free anymore, I'm set for a while. But yeah, I mean, that's the thing is you can kind of compare because I've seen people go onto Reddit and say, "Hey, look at how many of all of these repeat items have that." That shows you how much I play Battle Royale. So it's kind of a status thing. I don't know if they're going to keep that.
Now, we've got a few of the H1Z1 guys in chat saying the reason for you getting all those items is that once the trading market and the kind of the economy for the game is set up, you'll be able to sell and trade items freely. So that's why having, I guess, 19 allows you to sell 18 of them and still have one left for you.
I guess what we could do is I'll trade you 19 of my trucker hats for 18 of your Battle Royale loser shirts.
That's a good deal.
I mean, so it's kind of like something you can go and trade, but those are not going to, I don't think, be the ones that are being traded. So these ones that you get out of the key loot boxes, these ones that are more rare, like I've got the Z trucker hat from winning first place in Battle Royale. Those ones not everybody has. So if I wanted to go trade that for a winner chicken dinner or something else, that would be that would be a more tradable item. I think once they start getting these special helmets, they're redoing the whole body system for the character to where there's going to be like trench coats and just all kinds of different things that flow different ways and make your character look more unique. So I think that's where people that are going for a very specific look in game, that's going to be perfect for them to do the Steam trading so that they can say, because for me, I have a certain look I like to do. Our clan has been getting more of a look that when we go out, we look a certain way. But imagine if we could get a set of skins that makes our clan look very unique to where when people see us from far away, hey, that combination of clothes, that is infection or infected, whichever one wins.
Well, it's nice because we can associate ourselves. For the most part, we normally have helmets. At least a good group of us has helmets. If we're running around with 10 people, it's pretty safe to say 6, 7, 8 of us will have helmets, and they've all got that same custom skin that Ferment unlocked, which is nice. Yeah. Camo pants and a camo shirt is normally same thing as well. So we have kind of, like Brian said, kind of a uniformed look as we run around, in our case, mostly Pleasant Valley, which is nice. So it allows us to identify ourselves.
Now, we didn't really talk about Battle Royale Weekend. What was your... We went in as a group. There was a lot of issue with... we did have some people win in our clan the first place.
I'll tell you my Battle Royale Weekend, Brian. I played three games. I came in fourth twice my first two games, and I came in fifth my third game. And I was like, well, this is as high as I'm going to get, and I stopped playing.
Quit while you're ahead.
I played three games throughout the Battle Royale Weekend. Fourth, and fifth were my places.
Yeah.
So that was, and I was like, well, it's not going to get any better.
And I think when we were trying to do it as a clan is when it was the most broken.
Yeah, which was Friday night. Friday night, it was the queue was unusable.
And so I think we really should have tried a little bit later to go in and actually queue up on Saturday and Sunday.
We could have.
I was gone. Well, that was the night that we stayed up. I stayed up till 7 a.m. Well,
that was Saturday night, right? Yeah.
Yeah, Saturday night. So we were dealing with the people attacking our base and everything. So, and having talked about that, since we have some H1Z1 people in chat, the base raiding was actually a lot of fun. When the people came into our base and we protected it, I mean, initially when it first happened, like that was awesome. We had some people say, this is the most fun I've had in this game, ever.
The most fun was people breaking into our base and stealing our stuff.
That was the next day. It was that.
Well, they still stole our stuff.
There.
They were locked in our loot room. I mean, they totally stole our stuff. It was fun. No, I will second that. That was definitely the most fun I think I've had in the game the entire time.
Yeah, and so I think that that was the whole peek at what the clan rating system is going to be of hey, we're going to go and try to capture this base or steal from this base. Mm-hmm. Let's all go and just attack it. And being that we're out in the middle of a very visible spot, we are that base that everybody wants to come and attack.
Yeah. And we've even got, this is funny, we've got regulars on our server that don't play with us, but they walk by our base all the time and we just kill them every single time. Like, there's just groups of guys that are just passing through, and we'll be like, hey, you see that guy over there? Yep, we'll kill him. And then you have like three guys just speed out of the base, take the guy out, and it's the same guy every time, just passing through Humperdinck's Gorge on his way to like Cranberry or Misty Peak Dam, something like that.
Well, we have some people that view us as huge enemies just because they're like, every time I go through the gorge heading to Pleasant Valley, bam, dead. Because we can see over the whole gorge or that whole water area, and we got guys with 308s up there all the time. But some people in chat are saying queuing in BR as a group is not what you should do. Generally, with that we wanted to test it, and so it didn't really work. So we never really got in there as a group. We've had two people in BR, maybe three people max in a BR at the same time. But we found that it generally doesn't let you queue at the same time, and it usually doesn't work. I do like the idea of having maybe a group queued BR.
Like a different game type. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, another game type of BR to where you can have, okay, I have five people in my group, seven people in my group. We're going to queue up in BR against other people that have similar group sizes.
What you would have to do is you'd have to say like, this is a 5+ person team BR server, and you need at least five people in your and your team or your queue or whatever to join that server. And then once you're in that server, you all spawn in together. You're all clanned up. Let's just say it puts all the same clothes on you, something like that, where it's a total team experience. Because every once in a while, that team experience is fun in Battle Royale. It's nice to Battle Royale. There's unlimited guns. There's unlimited vehicles. There's unlimited everything. So that experience kind of takes you out of the game a little bit. And it's just one of those free roam experiences. You spend half an hour in the game, you die, you don't care. And it's just one of those fun experiences where playing with a group of, in our case, we could play with groups of up to probably close to 20 people. And that would be fun to do like a team BR.
Yeah. And so I think that if it's going to continue, and we generally don't queue up, as I said, we don't queue up together. But if we did, I think it would be a lot more fun going against other groups, because you always hate that one person, and you don't know how many hackers or people that are using like an aimbot or ESP or something inside of the BR that there are right now. So it's really tough to get a good idea of how difficult it is going into a BR, because it seems like right after a patch, if they have a major patch, there's a period of time where there's not those people that are using the aimbots and ESP. And so it really feels like at that time I went into BRs, and it was a very different experience than, let's say, a week after a patch.
Yeah,
I found it a lot more fun because I could run around, or even we went out and ran across the whole map in regular a little bit after a patch when the hacks hadn't been released yet. And we were able to get across the whole map without dying, which we found to be a really good accomplishment. You know, we got across the whole thing, picked up some loot from other base and ran back. That was a very unique experience, because we're so used to, if you run around too much, you're going to have somebody drop in behind you or somebody shoot you from a ridiculous distance.
Exactly. Now, one thing that is still a big problem for me, they said they fixed it. The player skin at a certain distance is still very, very broken. It's shadow.
It's not as black, though. It's not a big, from what I've noticed, it doesn't seem to be a big black blotch.
I noticed that when the people get closer, the skin definitely turns into what they look like quicker. But from a distance, it's still just that black blob running across Humperdinck's gorge or running across the gorge. And it's just like, what do we do? Is this a fresh spawn? Is this somebody from the other clan with a military backpack and a racing helmet? You can't really tell at that distance.
I think it's going to be really difficult for them to render it clearly at that distance. I think there's always going to be a question of, is that someone, because they don't want to show a name tag from that distance.
No, you definitely don't want to show a name tag, but I guess we're in a unique spot because we can see across the entire gorge.
Yeah.
So we can see the graveyard of the church from our base. I mean, that's a very large distance. So I don't think we should be able to view people that far out. But I'd say, you know, halfway between us and the church, we should be able to view a character skin. If you've got a 308 or even binoculars, you should be able to zoom in and say, okay, this is a fresh spawn, or even just to protect your teammates as they run towards you and say, all right, you know, hey, Brian, I'm tracking you. The nobody's behind you. You're good. Keep on coming.
Yeah.
We can do something like that.
Well, and Ferment brings up, he thinks that the distance of the player models rendering should be 200 units. And I think right now it's 150 units, if I remember correctly. But, you know, that would be a big difference. I think that the computer itself, the H1Z1 game itself, actually has the ability to do 300 units, if I remember correctly. I think it goes twice the distance of what we're actually rendering right now.
Okay. So that's interesting.
And so they have the ability to make it farther, and I don't know if it's because of a performance thing or if there's a reason that they're limiting it, but that would be interesting to see. With it, imagine if you could see someone from double the distance away, because there is a point where they all of a sudden show up and there's a point where they disappear.
Yeah.
When they're not out over the horizon or something.
We notice that because of our high vantage point. There'll be enemies and they just straight up disappear. And you're like, well, what do we do now? Are they still there? Did they keep running? Are they just a little bit out of our render distance? Like, are we safe to go get that loot bag? Or is the guy standing right outside of our render distance? It's kind of a fine line, at least at this point for us, because we have a lot of people that get killed trying to come up to our base because we've got that other clan there. So at this point, trying to figure out, is it safe to go for a bag or you know, is this an enemy or is this a teammate? It's kind of hard to figure out at this point.
Yeah. Now, and that's one thing. We have a lot of people in the chat right now. Some weren't here at the beginning. If you want to become a part of our clan, if you want to get onto our server, we play on Walker Empire. We actually haven't actually mentioned that yet today. But the server we play on is Walker Empire. We have a couple bases right now, but you're more than welcome to join us on TeamSpeak. Say, hey, I'm in game right now. Do you want to come play for a bit? Or if you want to just come and start running with our group, you're more than welcome to. We've had a pretty awesome group lately. I think we have like 20. After last week's show, we had at least 20 people in TeamSpeak.
Yeah, and it's nice. We have a nice solid group, core of people now. I'd say it's a solid 10 of people that are there almost every day, maybe 15 that log in every day and play, which is cool. It really, the dynamic of the game is a lot different. From Brian, we started off with just us two. We wouldn't even bother teaming up because there was just like we'd get killed so frequently. Where now we've got consistently 10 or 15 people logged in and all at the same location. Which is nice. Now, loot caches are something. This is a problem. This is a bug, at least on our server, for the loot cache at the campgrounds. Somebody somehow managed to place a wooden axe in the loot cache there, and now the loot cache is completely glitched, and you can't grab any items out of it.
Yeah, I think there's actually a bunch of things with the wooden axe, because didn't someone turn in one, and there's actually items. Someone was saying they went there. And there are items in the loot cache that you're supposed to be able to pull out, but no one can pull anything.
Yeah, and that's the campground thing. Somebody somehow placed a wooden axe in there, and now that loot cache is like completely broken. So we had like
now, what if there's a bug, and this is something I'm assuming they'll have to look at. What if there's a bug that for some reason it randomly spawned in there and is not supposed to? I mean, it could be something weird like that too.
That's not. That's really interesting. That actually makes more sense because you can't place stuff in the loot cache.
Yeah,
so that must be what did something like that. Other than
now,
that,
TP
though,
Bison Hunt, he posted a picture in chat here of the new bow that they're preparing. I don't know if you had a chance to look at that, but I'll actually post it again in chat so you can see it. But this is the new the bow that they've been tuning the look of, and I assume this is going to be one that's beyond the normal bow. I guess he could probably answer that. But it's got looks like a carbon fiber or some sort of a molded plastic handle, wood for the bendable part of the bow, and a nice string. Of course, it's still the wooden arrow. I like to look at those details. I see that there's still a wooden arrow in there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm waiting to see when we have composite or some sort of a metal type of an arrow, something beyond the wood.
How would you craft that though? It wouldn't be
metal pipe. Sheet metal, something where you could craft
that sheet arrow. Metal and those metal scraps are hard enough to come by. I don't think I'd be using them to create arrows.
But imagine if the distance was a lot farther. I mean, that's the thing, is you're creating it to where there's a competition for those items, and that's what you want.
True.
I mean, you could find arrows. You could make it, but yeah, if I'm assuming you could also craft the arrows somehow, make it somewhere more difficult to craft, to where those people that really play, that put the time in, have gotten all those materials, they're the ones that have those arrows. Yeah, you know, it has to where it can maybe do a kill shot on a helmet. You know, someone that's wearing a helmet, because right now what it takes, two headshots with an arrow.
I believe so.
Imagine if you had a metal arrow with a metal tip. You know, some sort of a modern type of an arrow, you could do a one-shot headshot.
So just to clarify that, Brian, that bow is not craftable. That will be a bow that will be spawned. That'll just be in the game. There's an item that there's competition for right there. So now when you walk into a house and see a bow, you'll actually probably check and see, is this a makeshift bow or is this, you know, whatever they decide to call this bow.
Yeah, and that's the thing. There's so much room for them to expand on this, mm-hmm. to have a full compound bow that has just the ability to. I mean, there's all kinds. This is, I think, just the first step. Crossbows, I know, is going to be a big thing, especially with The Walking Dead and the crossbow that has become so popular in that. I think a lot of people want to be Daryl. You know, that's who they want to be in game. They want to represent him, get the motorcycle jacket. I mean, imagine if they put a motorcycle jacket in there and you could kind of have that look. Imagine how many people would be running around as Daryl, like, especially on the if you're doing kind of a role-playing type of scenario.
Yeah. Now, we're talking a little bit about Battle Royale, and there was a funny GIF I saw on the H1Z1 subreddit this morning, and it was I'm going to play it right here. It's called My First Time in Battle Royale or something like that.
Yeah.
And the guy literally just spawns in. He's flying down, hits a power pole. His parachute disappears. He hits the ground, and he dies. And this is his first experience playing Battle Royale, or that was according to the post. And it's just one of those. So
this is similar,
one of those comical,
to some of my
moments.
Remember early on in our earlier podcast, I said some of my experiences in Battle Royale, to where I'd land on a car and I would die. I would land on a house and I would die. I had it to where time after time I would land on the wrong thing or land on a tree, even, and it seems like. Or I would zip around sideways to where I couldn't ever land on the ground.
Well, that was,
I
mean, the skateboarding effect, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, these were early on bugs. I've not landed on a power line, and I'm assuming in real life, if you landed parachuting on a power line, you'd die like that. So I don't know if that's necessarily a bug.
I should avoid
power lines.
You don't have that much control over your parachutes, though, at that certain point. Now, one thing I did see, which is a big problem in Battle Royale as of right now, the people with better computers and better internet connections are getting into the game first. And this is a huge problem because people with slower, not everybody has got, Brian and I have, you know, pretty powerful computers. Mine is less than 2 months old. Brian's is pretty new. We don't have a problem with lagging. We're running consistently almost 60 frames a second, while live streaming or recording. So we're good on that sense. So we get into the games really quick, but people are saying, you know, I've got a slower computer, and by the time I hit the ground in BR, there's already people running around, you know, fully equipped with backpacks and guns, and I can't compete. So they're wondering, when is this going to change? You know, when is everybody going to be in at the same time? And that's right now, it's not something I'm experiencing, but if I was, I would imagine you can't even play Battle Royale unless you're lucky and you hope nobody spawned there.
Now, have you noticed lately, it seemed like it was a week or two ago that we were spawning in and there was a shotgun and then AR ammo, or we'd run into shotgun ammo and a handgun. It's been more consistent to where there may not be a ton of ammo, but if I find a shotgun, usually I'll find at least a couple shells there. Mm-hmm. It seems like in Battle Royale, that's been corrected somewhat.
So I'm actually watching a video in chat. I'm going to show this on stream here. It's called My Highest Moment in H1Z1. And it's somebody driving a truck in Battle Royale. And he's going up the hill. He's he hits something, and his truck just barrel rolls out of control. And this is in Battle Royale here. This is actually, I don't think I've ever seen this video. This is a really funny bug. And he just hit the ground and actually survived. That's actually pretty good right there.
Now it looks like he almost tried to do it. I mean, he may have been seeing how much air he can get, but I mean, that was a ridiculous effect of, he had to have gone at least 200 feet in the air.
Now let's talk a little bit about cars. This is a problem that I had this week. We picked up a car and the guy driving it lagged out, and this is on our server, Walker Empire. So it was me, one other guy, and the guy driving.
I Like Jello and Ferment.
Correct. Yeah. And the I Like Jello was driving, his internet went out, and the truck ended up underground, killing all three of us and us losing all of our ammo. I'm not sure what has to
change. Like from what you guys were saying over TeamSpeak, it's like the car just kind of went down to the ground a little bit and then started spinning on the road.
Exactly.
It just was doing cookies on the, like, spinning as it went down the road, and then it went down below the dirt a little bit, and then it sunk, and then it just went down.
Yeah, and then at one point it was like flipping upside down, and then like Ferment got in the driver's seat and like tried driving it, and then it blew up. This is like, you know, 1,000 feet underground or whatever. The world is just this tiny thing above us. And he's saying, yeah, he just actually remembered that. That's like a game breaking issue right there. Especially with people shooting and having, there was the problem where people were shooting and it crashing them out. That's a major problem right there. It killed all three of us and all of our ammo, and we lost the car. And there was really nothing. We had, I don't know, maybe 10 seconds to act, and it was the first time I'd experienced it, so I didn't know what was happening. I thought he was just driving crazy.
It seems like right now when you disconnect because of a crash or something, it actually logs you out of the game immediately is what I've been noticing. Before, let's say you exited, if you close your client, it seems like you would stay in-game for a certain period of time, and then your character would leave.
Now, I would agree with you, Brian, but I had the situation where our base got raided the first time, and somebody shot, I crashed, and I logged back in, and I was dead. So in that case, my player stuck around for, it could have been 5 seconds, it could have been 45 seconds, and they had enough time to kill me. So I don't know how quick that crash is happening, but I crashed because somebody being shot, and I logged back in as a fresh spawn.
And it might not be totally consistent, but I think because of that behavior, that maybe they're doing that behavior, but when it happens when you're in a car with someone, that car can't just disappear or stop immediately. I think then you're continuing on with what the crash would have done if that person would have exited out and they wouldn't have ended at that point.
Now, well, here's the thing though. Even if it just disconnected the user, somebody could hop in the driver's seat because you can do that. You can change your position in the car. The problem is the person that lags out is in the driver's seat and they're still in there. I mean, he was in the game for like 60 seconds after he crashed, and then he DC'd and we were able to hop in the driver's seat. But at that point we were already, 100 feet underground and there was really nothing we could do. Now, one interesting thing before we ended here, this is an interesting post I saw. This was posted last week on the H1Z1 subreddit, and the post is PvE Zombie Royale, and the text post just says, what if, like Battle Royale, you were dropped into an arena with other players, but instead of fighting each other, you fight to survive the longest from increasingly difficult amounts of zombie hordes, and the last person standing wins? This is a cool concept. We constantly talk about different game modes that we would like to see, and different ideas that could make money or whatever else for the developers and for the company. This is something perfect right there.
Yeah,
there is a market of people that would love to just play killing hordes of zombies. It might not be me, it might not be you, but there are definitely people that are into the whole zombie horde thing, and they would love that.
Yeah, and I think that these kind of ideas is where you're going to get people. Like you said, okay, I'm playing and right now I'm not really into it. I've been running around. We've done a couple runs. What should I do now? And maybe you don't feel like going to do Battle Royale. What currently is Battle Royale? These are the kind of things. I think we talk last week about the, I think we did about them on PvE servers. I know we did, but having that maybe on a schedule of the people being able to kill each other, those different types of ideas of creating those unique game types, I think that is going to be where they're really going to get, okay, I don't want to do this. People aren't going to close the game. They're just going to go play a different type of game type. It's still keeping them in game, continuing that along. And maybe a friend system would help this too. So you can see, all right, my friend is in this game playing this game type. I'm going to go and start playing these types of game types as well.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, you don't really have a way other than we've created a Battle Royale channel in our TeamSpeak. We've created groups in our TeamSpeak, but there's not really a way to know, is this person in Battle Royale versus are they playing on a certain server?
Yeah, because right now, if you just click on it, it just says, like, Brian is playing H1Z1. There's no there's no in-game information, at least on Steam, as of yet. So actually, H1Z1 in chat is saying, we're having lots of internal discussions about new game modes, and player versus zombie waves is one of them. So there you go. The posts that are being seen on the internet are actually being looked at by the dev team, which is nice. We've said it week in and week out, the community outreach for this game and how they take community suggestions is just superb. So, if you legitimately have an idea, and if you're a viewer watching the show, put your post on Reddit or something. Because if it gets upvoted like this player versus zombies one does, there's there's a possibility that the devs at Daybreak will see it, and it could possibly be something that makes it into the final release of the game. So no idea, I think, at this point is stupid. So if you've got something, go ahead and throw it in there.
Well, and that's the thing, is one of our players had suggested a game type, and I'm trying to remember exactly what it was. I think it was Heisenberg had suggested a game type on Reddit. And you know, those type of things, as you said, are getting noticed. If you do have a suggestion of a game type, whether for him, he suggested using event tickets to create spawns of zombies, saying, I want to have a zombie horde, you know, in this area. And that's what they're kind of talking about. I think Kramit mentioned it. But that's the kind of thing to where you'll get people spending those event tickets. People will try to earn them just not only in Battle Royale, but they'll be willing to spend them because something is coming out of it other than they're getting to play another Battle Royale.
Yeah.
Right.
No, something interesting, Brian. I like Jello and Chad is saying that somebody's in our base right now.
Oh.
What should we do here?
All right. So, yeah, everybody who is in our clan, I guess that is a call to go log in and kill whoever's in our base and figure out how they got there.
And now it's 8:17. Should I open up the game?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, you're more than welcome to. So, yeah. So after this, we're going to be playing some.
But no, I'm saying right now, like I could see if this person's still in our base.
Oh, no, I think we should do it after.
You think we should? Should wait?
Yeah, because I think that the people that are listening after the fact will be like, "What in the world's happening?"
We're getting attacked. That's what's happening.
All right. So anyway, so yeah, if you're listening, make sure. And I made this call the last couple of weeks. If you're listening and you're not live, go make sure you go into our website, infectionpodcast.com. Check out our TeamSpeak and also check out our Steam group. If you aren't a part of our Steam group, make sure you join it. As I see people playing in the Steam group, I see people that are playing H1Z1. I always make sure I friend them. And then sometimes I'll invite you to come join us on our server. So if you do want to play, on the upper right, we'll have a join TeamSpeak button. Also, we have a Steam icon. Just click those. That one will take you to our group. One will take you to our TeamSpeak. You can also see on the right who is in our TeamSpeak at the moment. We put a lot of different posts on there with our podcasts, also with funny things that happen in game or with patch notes. So make sure you go check out our website, click the links, make sure you follow us on Steam. I think that's the most important thing, and come and join us and have some fun with our clan.
Yeah, we do live streams throughout the week, and every time we do a live stream, unless I forget, which I don't normally do, we create an event on our Steam group, so it pops up as a notification in your Steam that it'll say, you know, Infection, the H1Z1 podcast, streaming H1Z1 live now, or something like that. And that's that can either be a call for you to come watch it, watch the live stream, or come play with us, and you'll know that we're live streaming. And like I said, we've got people on literally almost all throughout the day. I went to the website at some point. It was like 1 or 2 in the afternoon, and there were 5 or 6 guys on TeamSpeak talking. Yeah. And I could see from that sidebar, so there are always people logged in and ready to go, which is nice.
Well, and we got 7 people in there right now, so that's, I'm sure, people that are in there going to take care of whoever made it into our base.
Yeah. I wish I could log in, but, you know.
So now Langan wanted to talk a little bit about the crosshairs. What do you think about the new crosshairs?
I've gotten more kills with the new crosshairs than I did previously, I think. I don't know if that's the new crosshairs or I've just come encounter with more people. But yeah. I feel like the new crosshairs are pretty good. It's a lot easier to decipher what's crosshair, what's, before it was just that dot. So if it was the middle of the day, you had a really hard time seeing what's going on. Now I shoot in first person a lot. I notice this. I play in third person, but if I know I'm walking into a gunfight, I'll switch to first person. Do you do that? Or do you mostly play?
The only one I really switched first person on for the most, it usually is with the shotgun. I find it easier to shoot someone with a shotgun in first person.
Mm-hmm. Now the 308 scope in first person, I don't like the 308 scope in first person. That's the only gun I think I'll shoot in third person. The scope, it's way too small on the screen. It zooms in and it's a very small scope. I'd rather play in third person and you just get that zoom in effect and you can aim your crosshairs that way.
Yeah. And I think that, Yeah, if you zoom in, I think that if the crosshairs got a little bit closer together, just because for me they're a little bit too spread out the way that the crosshairs are. But yeah, if you right click, do that zoom, and if they just kind of went together a little bit to give you that little more fine tune.
Oh, I see what you're saying. So as you zoom in, those crosshairs would kind of close in a little.
They kind of come in a little bit closer together. For me, that would make it just the right effect. Right now, they don't do that, and I think. I don't know why in options they couldn't say, would you like to have a dot versus the crosshair? What I mentioned before when we announced this originally was that I think it's just because they want to see what everybody feels about it. Make everybody use it for a while. See, you know, what people, after they're forced to use it, how they feel about it.
And
see if they start to like it.
And even color custom. I mean, that's something that's extremely easy as well, would be simple color customization. You know, what color do you want your reticle? Do you want it to be green? You want it to be purple or something that, you know, hot pink would stand out great in H1Z. It really would.
Yeah.
The color's never going to match up. And if you're shooting from a far distance, that crosshair should be pretty accurate. You should be able to, you know, you're going to see hot pink almost on any background in the game. So that would be, I think, a good color for you to be able to set your crosshairs and be like, all right, these are my crosshairs. It's not going to blend in with an object or a player or something like that.
Yeah. I think that once they've done this for a while, they may have some other ones that they're planning on doing. You know, they may make you use those other ones for a while, but it'll be interesting to see if then they say, okay, you pick yours. It's very easy for them to do a color wheel and to pick your crosshair.
People are criticizing me on my hot pink selection. I'm just trying to think of a color that's just like,
There's no other color.
Like it's currently white. It's like an. Is it currently an off white?
Something like that.
It's an off white. If it's really bright out, depending on where you are in the game, you can't see that crosshair. It's very hard to see the crosshair. So you get like a hot pink crosshair that's standing out. That is not blending in with the sun or another player or something you're shooting into. Any color that's not in game. Even a lime green, something like that. There's no chance that the colors are blending. That's the kind of crosshair I want. So yeah, neon green. I'm sticking with hot pink. If you've got a problem with hot pink, then there you go. I love hot pink reticles. There you go. I said it.
Wow, that sounds weird. Anyways,
I make my reticles hot pink in Call of Duty. That's what I do. Yeah. There you go.
Well, yeah. So anyways. You're more than welcome. As I think that covered what Langan was saying.
Yeah,
but you're more than welcome to join us. So after this, we're going to play for a little while. If you're not watching live, doesn't matter. Jump on whenever you happen to listen to this. You can probably join us. I'm sure there will be someone that's playing right now. But yeah, jump on. You know, make it if you're, even if you have a character somewhere else. Because we found there's some people like, I'm not going to say names because he doesn't want it said, but you know, we have a person in our group who said, hey, on my other server, there's some people that I haven't been playing as regularly. You guys are always playing. You know, you guys are committed. You know, I think I might switch over to you guys full time.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of thing is we want to build up. If you're not playing right now, or if you're playing and maybe the person that you played with before isn't on very much, create a character on our server. Come out and just, you know, check out how it is playing with a large group like that, because I think you'll find that, you know, it, maybe you don't want to always run with a group of 12, but even if you can just say, hey, is there four people that want to go with me to go do this?
Yeah,
that is a lot more fun. You don't have to always run with everyone. It is kind of fun to run around and take pictures and, you know, just take over things for a while and just dominate an area. But it is also fun to say, hey, let's, you know, let's grab four or five people and let's just go try. Let's go turn in this note, you know, this chest object. Let's work to bring these things back, or let's go find a car. Let's go do something. That's what's fun about the four or five people plus. And there's probably a lot of people out there that maybe only play with one person. I think when you get in there and you're just counting on running into someone, maybe talking to them and running around with them for a bit, you don't get that level of trust of I'm watching your back. You're just waiting for that person to then shoot you, you know, at some point. So I think if you can get someone who, like we have a group of people that, you know, you may accidentally shoot each other once in a while, but, or maybe for mental shoot someone for fun. But generally it's not going to be on purpose.
Exactly. And it's really, I said this at the beginning of the show, and I know we gained a lot of new viewers, but it's really it changes the game completely. The playing with two or three people and then playing with 15, totally different game. Something completely different. So if you are if you're interested, and it's not for everybody. There's people that like to be solo and hold on. Here's the thing. You play in a large group like we do. If you get ammo, that ammo is everybody's ammo. You put it in a chest, it's gone the next time you log in. It's all community. That's all it is. If you go and find, like I did the other day, I found like 20 cans of food. You put that in the base, those are going to be gone the next time you log in. So it's not necessarily for everybody as well. You've got to be willing
to... Not everybody likes the idea that what you're getting is going to be used by everyone. But, you know, you get a group of people, like when we go out and do ammo runs, I'll come back with 20-plus shotgun shells. I will keep one clip. I put the rest in a chest. If you know, if people, hey, does anyone need shotgun shells? We ran to the point yesterday where we're like, hey, does anybody need a military backpack?
Yeah.
We could not find anyone to take a military backpack because all 15 people had one. You know, and so it gets to that point to where if you're not so worried about, oh, me, and you kind of put in what extra you get, you throw into the community, you know, you'll have more than you would have had by yourself.
Exactly.
And that's what we've been finding. Or, you know, and the one thing is we actually survived bear attacks.
Yeah,
we're
talking
about bears.
We do.
You know, we don't. No one dies when a bear aggroes. If you're by yourself and a bear aggroes, good luck.
Exactly.
You know, we've got the tricks. Hey, you know, run around. I guess this is a tip we can do for the week. If you have two people and there's a bear that attacks you, have one person run around you that the bear's aggroed on, and just sit there and shoot arrows at them as they run around you in circles. That is the secret to killing a bear with arrows.
There you go. So Brian Aldridge from @BoiseComputer on Twitter. Thank you very much. We'll see you next week.
Yep.
So my name is Nick Craig. Actually, first, before we do all this stuff, a few quick things. InfectionPodcast.com is the website. Brian brought that up. But if you go there right now, there's links to everything on the website. We've got our videos that we do on here. You can join TeamSpeak over here on the right-hand corner. You can join our Steam group over here. Something quick, my Extra Life donation page is down here. It's a gaming charity. If you're interested in something like that, our goal is $200. We're at $145 right now. Extra Life, everybody's familiar with that. All of our links on here, subscribe to our YouTube channel, our Google Plus page. We've got all of our resources on here, server statuses, keyboard shortcuts, our live stream, everything is on that website. So it's infectionpodcast.com. If you need anything, you will find it on infectionpodcast.com. There's no lack of that. My name is Nick Craig. @GameCastLive is my Twitter handle. Check us out live every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Thanks for everybody watching and chat. Have a good week.
Have a good night.